afternoon, and welcome to another episode, well, I should say the episode of We the People Radio. It's the second one for the whole year. It's already February. We have been in the land time forgot.
It's been kind of a rough road for the last month.
They call it COVID. Yeah, so we did our show with you guys the 2nd of January, and then disappeared. That was Joe Biden right there.
We disappeared.
I was channeling Big Joe.
That was good.
Disappeared. No, we did a little bit. Bill made a trip to Reading Medical. We'll save that for a different day.
Yeah, that was a whole other story.
Wholly unpleasant. One thing we can let you know, we're a tale of two strategies. On the one hand, you go to your doctor months ahead of time, and you have a really frank conversation about what happens when you get the virus and what's the plan, right? Then you have all the medication, you got a plan, you go about it. Then you have the other strategy where you go to your doctor and you say, hey, what happens when I get the virus? And he goes, well, you should get the vaccine. And that's the end of that. And then you get it, and then you get to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And the advice there was, what happens if I get it? Well, take some Tylenol, and if it gets bad, go to the hospital. That's not the recommendation you're looking for.
Yeah. So if your doctor's telling you that, you might want to make a switch really fast before everybody else figures out that's what their doctor's telling them. But I'm here to tell you there are doctors who will give you better advice than that and set you up for success if you plan ahead. So if you haven't gotten it yet, you should plan ahead. And if you already got it, wahoo.
Wahoo, you got the antibodies.
And then some, because you earned them. Bill earned his antibodies.
I did it hard.
Whatever he's got. However many he has, he earned every single one of them. Oh, my gosh. So do you even remember who our sponsor is?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I haven't been there for a while, but...
That's right, you haven't seen him in a month.
Yeah, I think, what was it, 3rd of January?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Monday.
Yeah. So, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And they've got a whole lineup of John Deere equipment up there to look at. Go up and see them. Or if you need service on your equipment, they got a fully staffed service department. Or parts. They can get parts for pretty much everything as well. So go up and see them or give them a call at...
226-9226.
There you go. 226-9226.
Yes. I had it.
Yeah, I still have a little brain fog going, but I'm not getting through it.
You had trouble stacking cans in the grocery cart yesterday.
Yeah, that was weird. That was very weird.
First trip to the grocery store in a month, and he got stymied by cans.
Yeah, that was a very weird experience. So, yeah, go up and see him or catch him on the web at PapeMachinery.com.
You see somebody wandering around really slow, it's probably Bill.
I went from 65 to 85 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, they called me the first day I was in the hospital. The nurse called and wanted to know if we were all set with a walker at home. And I said, no, we don't have a walker at home. And she goes, well, does he use a wheelchair? Well, ma'am, he's 65. He's just 85 today, but he's going to be 65 again later. I mean, he's not going to stay 85.
I didn't really feel like I needed to make that investment right away.
God, it lost 20 pounds.
22 pounds.
22 pounds.
In 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I was doing the cooking either, just in case anyone was curious who actually knows us. No, he just like faded away.
Yeah.
It was
not a good deal. So what do we
if you have not experienced the magic of the virus, talk to your doctor ahead of time. And so what is today? Today's the 6th of February, which is lovely to say that we're going to start off another month great. And got a show next week with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. I've been dying to have him on because of all the Russia stuff, the Russia and Ukraine stuff. He is an absolute expert on all of that. So on the 13th, we will be chatting with him, and I know you'll learn a lot about that. This week, however, I was also dying to do a show with Dr. Shizong Chen because of the Olympics and everything with China. They've been big in the news, and I knew he would have all sorts of insight and good information for us. I'll give you a little bio in case you haven't heard our shows with him before, and they are all listed on the web at wethepeopleradio.us. I think we're the only people out there not doing a podcast, but or downloading it, your podcast, wherever your podcast lives or whatever that they all rattle off. But we do have free archives on our website. I guess they're kind of like podcasts because it's sound with no commercials. And doesn't cost you anything to listen to. You don't have to join or, I don't know.
Just click
give
on
us your. You don't have to give us your email. You don't have to do anything.
Listen for free.
Show up and listen for free. So at wethepeopleradio.us, you can listen to a backlog of shows on China. I think you'll find them very interesting, actually. So Dr. Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations, including concerning China, and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre, and he founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. And I'm going to kind of skip to the end here. I'll add some middle info later, but he was born in China in 1962, and at 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego, and currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. Ta-da!
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, definitely qualified to speak on the topic. Of China and the virus, too. He's got some hot tips on the virus. Maybe he'll give us that as well. So we didn't really plan out
Hello.
What we're going to talk to him about. So take it away, Dr. Chen.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hey.
To the living, huh? Yeah.
Usually it would be you who said it. Oh, I'm glad I got the chance to say it to you. Welcome back.
Yeah, it was touch and go. Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to be a co-host there for a while.
Yeah, I was going to come back and do it myself, and I was like, I don't really feel that good either, and Bill sounds terrible, so I don't know. I think we played some of your stuff during the when we were in the land time forgot, but I'm not totally sure. I'd have to go back and look. You know, give people your hot tip on lungs for the folks that have either dealt with the virus or will be dealing with it in the future and have complications with their lungs. You mind doing that?
Yeah. No, I don't mind doing it. In fact, I'll be glad to do it. This would be, in fact, not only for, COVID-19, for any kind of a lung problem. You can actually do it by yourself. Our shoulder blade has it's a piece of bone that in the back of on both sides in the back of the shoulder, and has a vertical edge. And then has a horizontal edge to it. Okay, so when I'm talking about the edge, I'm talking about the vertical edge, on both sides of the our spinal cord. Right. So go find whenever you have a lung problem, right, go find a corner. Either it's a bookcase or a corner of your wall or refrigerator, any kind of a 90 degree angle that protrude out, and you lean your back against it along the shoulder blade. Right. And press against it, right? The inner part of that. By inner, I'm talking about from the spinal cord towards the shoulder blade, and grind against that. If you don't feel any pain, then you're okay. Right. Actually, you can check yourself. Whenever you have any doubt, whether you might come down with something in the lung, right? And you press against it. If you truly have a problem, particularly in COVID-19, you'll be very painful.
Right? I can attest to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll know the spot. It's the squishy part between your spine and your shoulder blade, and the harder you press, the quicker you'll find the problem area. It hurts.
Right. So if you are normal, you only feel the pressure. You only feel the normal pressure. But if you have any kind of illness, not just the COVID, any kind of lung issue, you feel the pain from inside out, right? And go ahead and press against it, grind against it, right? You can grind as long as you want, as frequent as you want, right? Usually, the more frequent, the harder you grind against it, the faster the healing, right? For the first day when you press against it, it'll be painful, but the second or third day, it'll be worse, right? And then after maybe 2-3 day, or sometimes if the situation is very severe, or you didn't press very hard at the beginning, I mean, may last in the fourth day. But then you will start to reduce. The pain will reduce. And and continue to press against it, and then the pain will be gone, and you'll heal. This is the Chinese acute pressure, right? And that's the horizontal shoulder blade edge. And then actually there's a vertical one, but this you won't be able to find unless you have like those hanging corners, right? But then you can find a piece of rod or anything that's a piece of root rod. You can use your left hand and press against the right shoulder, or use the right hand, press the left shoulder, the vertical part of the shoulder blade, and same idea. So both edge are responsible. They have a whole line of several acupressure points for the lung. Right? So those are the two very effective self, two lines of pressure point you can do yourself to help yourself when it comes to lung issue.
Yep, and anybody who's had long-term lung problems knows that that's where your back goes out all the time. It's always right between the shoulder blades in there, where all your nerves for the lungs run. And when a lot of people are winding up with pneumonia or walking pneumonia during this, as a result of the virus, and the first thing you notice is you have a real tight band across that upper part of your back, right across by your shoulder blades. It's like a really tight band, and you feel like, well, why would my back hurt right there? If you're really tired and you don't wheeze, typically pneumonia, you don't have the wheezing and things that are the telltale signs, especially for people who don't get it that often. But that back pain and the fatigue are a clue. This helps a lot. If you do have pneumonia, of course, you got to take antibiotics. But this will open up the airways a lot. Really is very helpful. And thanks for calling us when we were sick and reminding me that I guess I should have figured that out myself. I should have known that already. But very helpful. We've got to take a quick break before we get to our
flu as well. Any flu, coughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Anytime you wind up with a whole bunch of coughing, of course. That's the place in your back that's always really super tight, too. We've got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Dr. Chen. We're going to talk about all the stuff with, like, the Olympics and all sorts of things. But I thought that his information on how to help with the breathing was useful, since a lot of us are doing that these days, needing help with breathing.
Or not.
Bill would like to give that up. He suddenly wound up in my world and didn't really like living there. Go figure. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Look at that. He remembered.
I did.
He's back.
I know it.
Breathing, but it's kind of also about spying, so
keep an eye on them. You never know. That breathing thing may be temporary
for all those people who took their phones to the Olympics, took their own phones and didn't pay attention. You might as well load that as your theme song, because you're never going to have another private thought. Dr. Chen, what do you think about all that? We haven't been watching the Olympics. Bill turned them on right before we left just to see if the stands were empty, and they are. But
yeah, what it came to me when I thought of the Olympics. What came to me is to realize that when it comes to awarding humanity's worst enemies, no one even come close to the International Olympic Committee's perfect score. I'm talking about perfect score here. Right. The IOC awarded the 1936 Olympics to Germany. And then the next one, the 1940 Olympic Games to Japan, two countries responsible for World War II. As if 1936 is not enough, I didn't give them, 1940. Right? And then IOC next award the 1980 Olympics to the Soviet Union, a country, right? Actually, a whole block of countries responsible for the Cold War. Right? And then IOC award two Olympics, not one, right? Two Olympics, the 2008 Summer Olympics and the 2022, the one that's going on, Winter Olympics, to Communist China, a country responsible for the COVID-19 spread, genocide of Tibetan Uyghurs and Mongolians, and large-scale organ harvesting, right? And I need your help to, I want to come up with a new term because World War II, and Cold War was the previous wars. Mm-hmm. What the Communist China is running against or having against whole war is a high. It's a deprivation war, or it really is a war against the whole world's moral standard. Right? So I haven't come up with a good term yet, but that we should come up with a term and make it popular. Right? So. You think about it, nobody else have done that. IOC managed to not miss a single one of the worst enemies. Now, that's why I say it's a perfect score. And some people might say, well, Olympics is a very popular event. Well, That's not an explanation. The World Cup is more popular with bigger revenues than the Olympic Games.
No kidding.
But, has stayed clean of those, the Buffalo villains. Right. And then what's more amazing is that human beings have the ability to learn from errors, failures, and injuries. But IOC has managed to ignore the villains' crimes. Number one, and number two, its own blunders. Number three, has consistently rejected numerous calls for it to correct its mistakes, including the current one. Right? In fact, the IOC awarded the 1940 Olympics to Tokyo after the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Right? And then that is also after Japan's invasion and occupation of Northeast China in 1931, and also after Japan's withdrawal from the League of Nations in 1933 to defy world condemnation of its invasion. And despite all that, despite all this information, IOC continue, on its path of, awarding humanity's worst enemies, right?
Yeah, it's not like all these bad things happened after they got the
right or
award,
nobody knew
award for the Olympics.
Right.
This stuff's been going on long before that, and they just turned a blind eye to it.
Right, and it is not that the IOC Olympic Games do not have lofty ideals. Right? In fact, the IOC distinguishes itself from all other. I mean, not a single one, but all other sports governing bodies by adorning itself as the leader of an international movement, the so-called Olympics movement. And that movement, the Olympic movement is in IOC's website. So this movement has a philosophy. It's called Olympism. And in the Olympic Charter, right, it's spelled out, expounded as a philosophy of life, a quote, all right? I'm quoting it, a philosophy of life. And this philosophy includes some very fundamental principles, such as, quote, social responsibility and respect for universal fundamental ethical principles. My goodness, right? And then a view, right, quote, a view to promoting a peaceful society concerned with preservation of a human dignity.
Oops.
Right?
Kind of undershot the mark on that one.
Right? They even state, quote again, the practice of sports is a human right. Oh, human right. My goodness. Right? And every individual must have the possibility to practice sports without discrimination of any kind.
Wow.
I wonder if they, if they know what they're talking about, right? But more than that, okay, if that is not lofty enough, right, Pierre de Coubertin, the founder of the modern Olympics, and of course the founder of IOC, right, his conception of the Olympism was even grander. Right? He said in the 1892 proposal of revival of the games, the Olympic Games, quote, the first essential characteristic of the Olympics, both ancient, right, as well as modern, is to be a religion. It represents above and outside church humanity's superior religion. It's not just a religion, right? It's a superior religion, right? If he was mistaken, or misspoken for one time, that's not the case, right? his sentiment would, you know, become firmer and even more generalized in his later years. He wrote in his memoirs, Olympics, and said, "For me, sports is a religion, with church, dogma, ritual." Right? And he's not alone, though. Avery Brundage, the single most responsible person for delivering the U.S. participation of the 1936 Berlin Olympics for Hitler and the IOC's dominating president from 1950 to 1972, 20 years, went further and claimed this in an IOC full meeting. Quote, "The Olympic movement is a 20th century religion, a religion with universal appeal which incorporates all the basic values of other religions." My goodness, right? "All the basic values of other religions, a modern, exciting, blah, 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 right? And we of the IOC are its disciples," right? So, now this is a serious topic, right? So the first question is, how did this, quote, humanity is superior, not just one religion, but humanity is superior religion, end up partnering with the humanity's worst sinners repeatedly? Right. And then I would say it's not alone in when it comes to the Olympics. From 1982, the United Nations, together with IOC, we issue a so-called Olympic truth whenever there's the Olympic Games for the year. I mean, so basically every other 2 years, the two would come together to issue an Olympic truth. And this Olympic truth, they claim, is modeled after the ancient Olympic truth. Because in Greek time, when the ancient Olympic was held, there was a pan Greek Olympic truth. For the period of the Olympic Games, all the state nations, or the city-state, actually the city-state of all the Greek cities, would hold a truce to allow people to travel to Olympia Mountain and the athletes to go there to participate. Right? Now here, give us the first, you know, hint. What went wrong with IOC? Because the ancient Olympic truth was in honor of Zeus, in honor of deities, or in honor of the Greek gods. So the whole Olympic Games, it's a worship of divinity. Right? It's not a worship of human activity. It is for the honor of Greek gods that people at that time have this Olympic truth. Now, the IOC managed to make a human sport, or they want to make a human sport, or right now it's more of a, you know, including human entertainment, and have people to honor that with the Olympic truth, right? And so this is, I think, is what makes it so bad, right? The sanctification of Olympics is the root of IOC's, you know, often self-inflicted schizophrenic contradiction, I think, right? To promote and demonstrate Olympics' lofty, they, you know, they raise themselves, they exalt themselves to the quasi or even superior, let's say, superior religious ambition, IOC inclines to award games to risky hosts. Right? They want to show their superior. They pride themselves to bring world peace. But when those risks became crisis, the coward and callous IOC then ran to its infamous defense. You know, it consistently uses two defenses. Right, in those cases, right. Number one, Olympics is apolitical. Right. Number two, to boycott the Olympics would be unfair to athletes only. So, but the problem is when the Olympics committee, when IOC award Olympic Games to those problematic regimes, why didn't they? Wasn't that a political move?
Yeah, you would think.
And so they make it for themselves. They make the trouble for themselves. Right? They cause the problem, and when the problem comes, they do not have the guts or the courage or the judgment to deal with it. And they run away from it. Right? And then gave those opportunities or leave the Olympic Games to be exploited by those villains. And that makes the Olympics, the IOC, worse than any professional sports governing bodies. Right? You would rather have a professional, you just run it as a professional sport. And then the professional sports will just run it from the sports perspective or from the business perspective. And that will at least not get close, not avail itself for the manipulation to the likes of Hitler, to the Soviet Union, or to the CCP nowadays.
Yeah, I think they get so caught up in the money, and the other part of it is the media. We don't really have a media that's willing to call anybody on the carpet, because if they were going to be exposed for promoting the types of atrocities that go on in China, if that was actually talked about, I mean, we've done a bunch of shows on the forced organ harvesting, and if people are listening and have no idea what we're talking about, if you go to our website, click on the China tab, there are several shows on there about that, and I think it'll snap your eyes wide open. And this was going on long before the Uyghurs. This was going on with the Falun Gong people prior. And so here they do all these things, but because the media doesn't say anything and there's so much money involved, they're able to get away with all of it. It's, when we come back, I want you to remind people about the generous barbarism. Bill and I talk about all the time, and I think we learned that from you.
Yeah,
it could have been one of our other people speaking about China, but I think it was you. And I think that's a really important thing to remind people of while this is all going on. We have to take a really quick break, but we'll be back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us with our commercial-free archives that are free for you to listen to and access. You don't have to know anything about podcasts or any of that stuff. And you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
Yeah.
back in the day when the media did love dirty laundry? Remember?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you colored outside the lines and they raked you over the coals? And now?
Yeah, it just depends what size you're
on. Now they just say the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. They make up their own dirty laundry.
That's crazy. Well, actually, they are the dirty laundry apparently over at CNN. They forgot about that. They've got their own special problems over there.
Special brand of laundry.
Yeah. Yikes.
Generous barbarism.
Yeah. Bill was trying to think of that last week, and we're like, oh, I know what it means, but I can't remember what he called it.
I shared that this maybe 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
You know, quite a while ago, but I have gone much further than that. Let me just, you know, discuss a little bit about this before I go back to the IOC's dirty laundry. All right. So, the IOC, once given the Olympics to Beijing, now has to repeatedly come out to defend Beijing, not just the awarding of the game to it, right? But have to come out to eulogize it or embellish it, you know, and resort to lies. Right? In his speech to the UN, Thomas Bach, the IOC's president, claimed to the UN that this Olympic, the Beijing Olympics, is the first Olympics completely powered by green energy. Right? And this is the worst, this is environmentally most unfriendly Olympics in the history of Olympics, because you must have read that all the snows are artificial snow. Did you read that?
No, I didn't know that. I know there wasn't very much of it, but I didn't realize it was all artificial.
Yeah, it's all artificial, and that is a very dry area. So not only it causes a lot of electricity, right? China is not a green, it's not a green energy country. So there's no way that China can provide so-called the green energy, and they have no technology to, you know, you cannot separate the electricity, say, okay, yeah, the green electricity goes to the Winter Olympics. There's no way they can do that. Right? Number one. Number two, right? That is a very drought area. And they have to ship water to that area.
Mm, another green thing.
Right, that's a very green thing, right? And so it lied for that. But have you heard of the story of Peng Shuai? This is a tennis world champion, double champion. A lady double champion, Peng Shuai. She was sexually, harassed or exploited by one of the very top officials of the communist regime. And she exposed that, right? And that becomes a big international issue. The CCP then calling in Thomas Bach for the rescue. And Thomas Bach, well, first of all, Peng Shuai, because her activism, her Me Too, was then silenced. And so that caused the international cry. The World Tennis Association, I really praise for them for that, then spoke out and pulled all the tennis tournament from China until they can guarantee, until China can guarantee Peng Shuai's safety. Now, pulling out of those tournaments, of course, threatens IOC, People are just going to say, well, why didn't, if World Tennis Association can do that, why can't you do that with the Beijing Olympics, right? That's the referendum. Right. So the IOC president came out and claimed to have had a meeting online meeting, right, with Peng Shuai, and said Peng Shuai told him that she has freedom, she's safe. Duh, what else can she do? She's inside China, right? So this creates a phenomenon, what I now call the reverse moral pressure of the free world to defend China's human rights record. I just to realize this recently, right, that many of the ugliest, most offensive human rights violations have not been exposed because the free world has a need to protect China's or communist China's image. Why? Because the free world are doing too much business with the communist China.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. If the communist China is so evil, then the people in the free world is going to question, why are we doing business with that evil regime? That produces what I call the reverse moral pressure. Now the CCP is free to do all the evil things they want to do. It is now up to the free world to defend. Well, they don't to balance. Let me say it. To balance the image the free world's own image, and Beijing's image, right? The free world has to criticize China's human rights violation. So the free world government will not appear too bad, right? But at the same time, they have to make sure that criticism is not too too severe, because if their criticism to communist China is too severe, then, as I said, people in the free world are going to question, why are we doing business with that regime? So it's a delicate balancing act, and what I call reverse moral pressure. It helps. It actually encourages, emboldens the communist China to do all the human rights violations as they want, right? And the free world has to somehow have to criticize and have to defend of the communist China's human rights record. And that is what's going on, and we see it in the International Olympics, right? So I have gone further with that. But it derived the cause was what I said two years earlier, the generous barbarism, right? And anything that the only way for the free world IOC or any organization to get out of that terrible situation is to completely cut with any relationship with that evil regime, right? But I think it's up to the people in this country to learn more and have more outcry, and you're doing a wonderful job here, your program. And it takes that to force the media, the government, to get out of the reverse moral pressure, to face the reality, right? So, I'll go back to the, you know, this is Olympics week, so I'll go back to the Olympics to continue on what I said earlier. So IOC have lofty ideals. The problem is that their ideal is too lofty. Right? IOC has exalted the Olympics to the plane of religion. By doing so, it confuses secular activities with sacred religion practice and spiritual cultivation. Secular activities, be they sports or entertainment or education or cultural or commercial, whatever, peacemaking even, right? And no matter how we wish to you know, embellish those secular activities, all belong to the same human plane, right? They are secular activities. Orthodox religion and spiritual cultivation, on the other hand, connect humans to divinity and enable humans to transcend to sacred and higher plane, right? Once you confuse those two, once secular activity such as sports are made to be sacred, it denies divinity. It really severs human beings' connection with God's providence and salvation, and therefore deprive human beings' path of transcendence. I guess this can only be understood by people with strong religious belief, right? But regardless, people understanding or not, the sanctification of secular activity is worse than leaving it as secular activity. That's why I say to exalt Olympics to the plane of religion is worse than leaving them as sports. That's why World Tennis Association has done better than IOC. That's why FIFA has done better. Actually, any other world sports organization has done better than IOC because they keep it as secular activity, right? But IOC's denying of divinity is what causes it its own fatal flaw. And so this is why Olympics is so problematic. I cannot think of any other, besides outside those humanity's worst enemies, next in line would be IOC. That's how bad it is. And this is what I have to.
Well, we have you as our hostage for the next hour, and we're going to continue with this theme. So I've got to take a quick break for the news, and we will be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chin. We hope you will join us online and send this to a friend once we have the commercial-free archive posted. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. Welcome back to We the People Radio. Welcome back to us, to We the People Radio. Yeah,
the real version.
The live version. We're sorry we had to play so many archives. We had the Rona. We already talked about that last hour, but for those of you that are just tuning in, yeah, sorry for all the replays. Although they were good replays, but we'll be back to live shows now. So it's February 6th, 2022. Just in case we get something besides the Rona in the future, although we don't. We're really not sick that much.
No.
At all. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
My name's Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour
Sing it, Bill.
It's Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape Machinery has everything you need for John Deere equipment, parts, sales, and service. Go up and see him at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or give him a call at 226-9226. Or catch him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Sorry, Bill.
No, I fully expect, you know, interruptions. That's quite all right.
I got the hand.
Yeah. Talk to the hand.
I got the hand. I've missed giving you a hard time. I haven't been able to give you a hard time. You've been sick and everything, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not sick now, so. Welcome back to the mean streets.
The mean streets of radio.
The mean streets of radio. Oh, Dr. Chen. So,
you know, one question I had, comment and a question.
You
know, when the Olympics started, it was pretty much all amateurs. Every country showcased their amateur athletes. And it just seems to me, since they've allowed professional athletes and professional teams to compete, I think the money's mucking things up, and I think it's putting a different flavor on the
games. Yeah, because remember when the big scandal was somebody got paid?
Oh yeah,
had an endorsement.
Utah.
Yeah, remember that?
Utah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you have these pro teams competing at. I don't know. It kind of takes the fun out of it, I think. And I think it throws a lot of money. I mean, look what's going on with the NBA. I mean, you can't tell me that they're not throwing tons of money at the IOC. And I don't know. I think it's kind of strange. What do you think about that?
It's a slippery downhill road. Even before the professionals allowed to the Olympics, IOC was already on that road, right? And that is because, as I said earlier, I set a background for why it's going downhill. Right? So even when only amateur athletes was allowed to participate in Olympics, IOC itself has already started invitation for political exploitation of the Olympics. Now, here is quite a parallel to the gun control situation, right? So our government trying to take Americans' right to have guns and blame the gun violence on Second Amendment. Well, the thing is, the criminals will always be able to find guns. When you take that away, it will only allow the criminals. In this situation, it's a similar situation. When IOC says Olympics is apolitical, right? It actually leaves all the political exploitation to the evil regime, to those villains. Let me give you probably a very unknown fact for people to know about IOC. The 1936 Berlin Olympics, when the boycott was first forming, right, Hitler was not going to budge. Right? Hitler was, you know, he just wanted to carry on his anti-Semitic, genocide policy. He wasn't interested. He didn't even want to budge about the Olympics, right? It was actually the two German Olympic Committee members who lobbied, who explained to Hitler and telling Hitler, look, Olympics will make you look good. So it was the Olympic committee members who lobbied Hitler to take advantage of the Olympics blight, right? So it, IOC's own imitation of political exploitation, that's number one. Number two, the Olympics is set up in a way that, you know, the righteous government, the righteous people will not exploit Olympics. So it then, it leaves the Olympics for the exploitation by Germany in 1936, Japan and Soviet Union and the CCP now, so as I mentioned earlier. And what really is, I think, is outrageous is when the world is, or particularly in the United States, is debating about the boycott of the 1936 Olympics, Avery Brundage said that we will not get the Olympic Games to be interfered by, listen to this, by the Jew and the Nazi conflict. As if Jews and Nazi are equal parties arguing.
Yeah, right. It was just a standoff. Wow.
Right. So this is what's so problematic, that when IOC puts itself as religion and then put itself so low, it doesn't want to make any judgment, right? It treats everybody equal. Nowadays, we have a term for it. Moral neutrality. Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then there's so, I hope, you know, I'm writing something, but I hope I'm far from knowledgeable about IOC, but as an amateur, I find so much problems. So many, I can only name a few, the time limited, right? So IOC portray itself as apolitical. It's a total lie.
If they were apolitical, they wouldn't be hiding, they wouldn't be having the Olympics in a country that doesn't stand for anything that they supposedly represent. They would, I mean, if they were apolitical.
Let me give you an even stronger contrast. In the 1936 Berlin Olympics, the Nazi salute is visible every minute. The whole occasion is for the Nazi salute. That's a political sign.
Yeah.
Political gesture. IOC did not say a thing. Right? And then in 1968 Mexico Olympics, IOC punished the two U.S. athletes for, you know, holding up the Black Power gesture. Why do you do that? Why do you punish the individual, not a regime? Who has a stronger political gesture or political image?
Yeah.
Right? And so this is their hypocrisy, right? And I think I want to share this story with our audience because I hope people will boycott watching Olympics. And then after the Olympics is over, I hope there would be some soul-searching issues around the world and put pressure on IOC. I hope IOC will be disbanded or enough. People would question about IOC separation, or some IOC member would resign. One fact that stands out, it's really an infamous record, that the only IOC member that IOC has ever expelled is Mr. Yank, a IOC member back in 1936, the U.S. member, right? He opposed the Berlin Olympics, and IOC expelled him. Right? He was the only one that has ever been expelled. Right? Never mind all those scandals. Right? He was the only one, and IOC never rehabilitated his name. And a few years ago, IOC put on its, its video library, propaganda video piece of the 1936 Olympics. So the IOC has no remorse about the 1936 Olympics. And I think world people should come to realize after those evil regimes that I mentioned, right, IOC comes in next in line. It's time for people to know the true face of the IOC. And so in the future, I hope athletes, unless IOC change, I hope the athletes will take attending the IOC's Olympic Games is a shame. It is a shame, right? Not for athletes, but for IOC. I cannot say enough what IOC's fatal flaws, the damage it has done for humanity. Right? So that's one issue, the apolitical issue. The second defense IOC has used often, right, for its action is, boycotting this game is unfair for the athletes. So they defend Olympic in the name of the athletes. So let me just name a few facts. Not long ago, a book was published on 500 Olympian participants of the 19 in Europe, the Olympians who died in World War II. 500 of them. Right? Wow. That didn't include the German Olympics. Right? So if the world boycott the 1936 Olympics, World War II may be avoidable. We don't know for sure. But at least it offered that possibility. Right? And IOC, quashed that opportunity in the name of athletes. Right? So maybe some athletes get to participate in the 1936 Olympics. But then hundreds of them paid with their lives. That's one fact. Right?
Yeah, that's
another several. Right.
Definitely a kind of a double standard almost.
I mean, and it's things that we have kind of forgotten, always the adage, right, that if you forget history, you're doomed to repeat it, and here we are. We have to take a really quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we'll continue on with that. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair, because I might open my eyes and find someone standing there. People say I'm crazy, just a little touch, but maybe showers remind me of psycho humor. That's why I always feel like somebody's watching me, and I have no privacy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me, who's playing tricks on me.
sacrifice. Hey, hell, I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone in my average home. But why do I always feel like I'm in the twilight zone? And I always feel like somebody's watching me. And I have no proxy. Oh, I always feel like somebody's watching me.
I think that's what all the Olympic athletes are singing.
Yeah. Yeah, the what do you call them, burner phones that they give them over there. Yeah. They're all preloaded with the,
with the Chinese app.
With all the songs that we used to listen to in high school. yeah. That was before we learned to spy on each other, too. It's funny that if you think about the time frame for a lot of that, a lot of those songs about surveillance, we didn't have any surveillance.
Not like
I mean,
today.
Our surveillance was
we
like...
We thought we were, but...
It was like our parents.
Yeah.
Right? They were hiding outside the kitchen window and they heard us fighting while we were doing the dishes. That was surveillance.
Yeah, I was just reading an article here about the gal from I think she was from LA who decided to play for the Chinese in the Olympics. She joined the Chinese team. She was a figure skater. And her singles competition, she flopped, literally hit the wall. I mean, just
oh, she did.
Oh yeah, came in last place, and I guess she's just being ravaged on Chinese social media now as somebody who was never qualified, and she isn't really Chinese, and
she's really Chinese.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Oops.
So I wonder if she's kind of rethinking her decision to play for the Chinese. I don't know. It's kind of sad, but. Anyhow.
Yeah, no kidding. And that person who said a swear earlier,
so
that was not me.
When it comes to athlete's interest, IOC is as hypocritic as when it comes to political issue. The week ago, the former head coach of the Chinese Olympic game published a book exposing the systematic forced doping of Chinese athletes performing drugs and you know other drugs.
Wow, how do they get away with that? Aren't they tested for doping and all that?
Oh yeah, some are caught. Right?
Yeah,
but.
But I guess if you're in China,
the surveillance doesn't extend to that. Not if you're winning.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's they can time it. They can time it to stop the drug.
Oh yeah.
Before clean out of the system. Right?
Uh-huh.
And this kind of systematic doping of athletes happened in East Germany, in Russia. Right? So what did IOC do? Right. And I mentioned the Peng Shuai's case. In this case, IOC is taking advantage of the athletes instead of defending the athletes. So it's just... just Hippocratic. The moral of the IOC story is this, I think, when you think about it. We human beings are not neutral. We are in between God's divinity and Satan. Once we sever our connection with divinity, we have one way to go, down to the hell. So I hope more people realize that there's no such thing called moral neutrality.
No,
because
you gotta pick a team.
We are not in a neutral place.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead.
No, you're right. There is no middle ground between good and evil.
Because the good and evil are pulling. While God's trying to save humanity. Yeah. Satan trying to pull us down. And if we cut off ourselves, you know, by one way or another, I mean, IOC certainly provide an example. Now, to claim it being the humanity, the superior religion, yeah, it can only go down.
Yeah. What do you think after these games are over? I mean, with all the press and all the negative press they've gotten, do you think it'll have any impact on future decisions by the IOC?
No. It will be up to us, because, as I said, the whole world, the business, only people with righteous thought will be able to resist that. As I said earlier, right now there is this reverse moral pressure onto business, onto world governments, onto media. So, 2 days ago, a pair of Holland reporting team was doing a live report on Beijing Street. And they were threatened by security force, you know, the security force in Beijing. And what the security force didn't know is that's a live forecast. So that showed to the world, the report goes, the real human rights situation in China. When I see that report, I said, no, that's not at all real. That's a very nice part of the tip of the iceberg, because these are foreigners. They are reporters. If that regime can treat foreign reporters that way, imagine what is the real situation to the real little Chinese people that the world do not care.
Well, you got to ask yourself too, what's going on when the cameras aren't on, and what are the athletes themselves having to contend with when people aren't looking? I'm sure there's plenty of that going on all over the place.
Yeah, it's already going on. Some Olympics athletes has already complained about their treatment. IOC is not doing anything. A Japan skier, a lady skier, was injured on the slope. Why? Because the man-made snow is much harder.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Than natural snow. So when she fall, it's like she fall on a concrete. Did IOC say anything? So, I want to save enough time to bring up another really terrifying news, or fact, right? And this got slight exposure internationally, and it happened that last week, right? In Xuzhou, a city in central part of China, Jiangsu province, people discovered a woman chained, by iron chains by her neck. Right? She is the mother of 8 children, right? That 8 children, 7 of them are boys, 1 is girl. Right? There are now, information not yet substantiated that she gave many more. Right? But only the boys Most of the boys survived. The girls don't know what happened to them, right? And then people find out this woman could be a 12 years old girl that missed many years ago. Right. And so they look exactly alike. So that's, if that's the case, then this woman has been kidnapped to that family when she was 12. Right. And then worse yet, there were more news came out and saying she is a sex slave for the whole village. Any man can come to rape her. And then after her story, there's even a story that's even worse. Another in the same village. Right. Another woman, right, paralyzed, right, been left naked for many years. But what I want to share here is this is a part of the ongoing large scale human trafficking in China. I read an article lately. Yeah. Every year there's about 1 million children missing. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I remember when I was in graduate school, I read a report in Chinese. Yeah. It made me cry for a long time. It described the human trafficking going on in Chinsai, China. Right. So this is the current one. But let me bring you back to the very beginning of communist ruling in China after 1949. An army of the CCP's, People's Liberation Army, conquered the Xinjiang area, the Uyghur area nowadays. Right? The CCP made a decision that the whole army stays in that area. So to keep a presence on there, the whole army has 200,000 men. Right. And their policy prohibits the Chinese men from marrying to the Uyghur woman. Right. They don't want to do that. They prohibit that. So their solution? To traffic 200,000 women from China, whole China. So those 200,000 men, every one of them can get a wife. So that was one major human trafficking happened in 1950s. And then during the Cultural Revolution, people may not know that concurrent with the Cultural Revolution, there is the so-called high school student going to country movement, going to countryside movement. During the Cultural Revolution, there's no employment, so all the high school graduate becomes a burden for the government, so the government send the high school graduate to the countryside. Millions of them. Tens of millions of them, actually. The girls, the young woman, just out of high school, becomes an easy target for the locals. Right, so that is another major large-scale sex slave. So the 1950, that's a sex, 200,000 sex slaves, right? And then the intercultural revolution, sex slaves, right? Right now, another new batch. Right? So the CCP is worse than ISIS, worse than Taliban.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys have training wheels on compared to these guys. They are the pros.
They are the state sponsored. In fact, the CCP is state mafia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the idea that that American athletes, you know, the NBA and all that have been covering for these guys, that American businesses cover for them, and now they're being, you know, basically glorified by the Olympics. Although, I mean, I think their ratings are hurt and all those things, but the fact that we took teams there and our big, like, slap in the face was to not send a political delegation, like anybody would have missed them. And that was how we fought back. That's a pretty pretty far cry from how we started our country and the kinds of things we used to stand for, and how vocal we were for the rights of people, not only in this country but around the world. I think we're going to have to get back to that before before the bad guys take us all over.
Any way you look at it, by allowing our teams to go over there and compete in the Olympics, we're condoning it. I mean, bottom line,
you're supporting it.
We're supporting what's going on over there, and we're saying, hey, it's okay. We'll just look the other way for now.
And everybody says, well, don't punish the athletes. Okay, I get that. But at some point, really, hundreds of thousands of people having their organs chopped out involuntarily and given to other sold to other people, having people rounded up and used as sex slaves and starved and all the other things that we don't even know anything about.
Well, it comes and then
on the heels of the stupid virus too. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, it comes down to the IOC. They should have. You know, when you're aware of these things going on, what are you thinking when you award the Olympics to a country that is participating in this?
Well, it seems like lately, if somebody's doing something bad, if you ignore it, that makes it okay. If you just pretend it's not happening, then mostly it isn't. So I guess all those people won't be harmed.
Yeah, there's just no justification.
We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen, and have him till the top of the hour. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Too many lives they spent across the ocean. Too much money.
So fitting. Before we get back to that, Dr. Chen, there's a part of your bio that we haven't read in a long time, and I really need to highlight that. I'm sending you an email so I can get more information from you, but you have authored or co-authored a couple of books, Stories of Conscience, The Falun Gong Report, Falun Gong, Humanity's Last Stand, now in third edition, and most recently a comprehensive report on the extensive psychiatric torture taking place in China. So I'd like you to send me more information on that so I can post that. And
I will.
And we can, you know, make that available for people, because these are things that I think when we first started talking to you a couple of years ago, you know, it seemed like, why are you talking about China? And then the virus came and everybody was like, well, what's going on in China? It became a little more interesting. And now we're kind of at that point, especially with the Olympics, where people are like, what is going on over there anyway? And I think it's time that Americans got smarter about that. I mean, the generous barbarism that you talked to us about a while back is that that idea that you know, we are supporting that regime because they have cheap products and whatnot. Meanwhile, they are barbarians. But, you know, they're selling us cheap stuff, so we're supporting it. And I think people really need to take a hard look. I realize a lot of things come from China, and some of the stuff you really can't find made in the U.S. because we went stupid and quit making things.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that we're going to have to get kind of serious about that and do our own economic sanctions. if we wait for the country to do that as a whole, I think we'll be waiting a while.
Yeah, I'm working with a team of writers to write to expose more of this, and we have produced some. I will start to sending those to you. For example, I've recently written a piece on I titled "Subnational Invasion of the United States by the CCP," and I hope American people quickly wake up to that. So, I will not have enough time to talk about it, but let me give you.
No, that's okay. Two. I'll add it to the webpage for today's show when you send it to me. And mm-hmm. I just thought I would kind of give people a little heads up on that, because I think it's important that we get a little smarter about this, and we're not going to get that from our media, obviously.
Yeah. So I have given dozens and dozens of, talks to radio stations, to clubs, to colleges, and the question that I get the most, in fact, I got that from you also, is that, why didn't we know about this?
Yeah.
And there's a good reason, and that good reason is what I said earlier, the reverse moral pressure. The story, like the woman, the sex slave story, right, happened in China multiple times. The Xuzhou story, what I talked about earlier, the woman of at least eight children, right, the sex slave of a whole city, the whole village, right? It's not in individual crimes, it's organized crime, is, you know, supported, protected by police. Right? The man who imprisoned her after the story, go figure this out. Right? Because this story gets public attention, she gets a advertisement role. Some company is hiring him as the spokesperson for their product. Go figure this out.
That's I mean, how do you explain that?
That's sick, right? But why do I know about it? So that is the question, right? So the answer is the reverse moral pressure.
Yeah.
In Casablanca, I remember the young wife said to Rick, and says, the devil have people by their throat. Right? In this country, in the United States, the devil are having people by their purse.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
Let me give you just case scheme, right? When we were in the Cold War against the Soviet communism, the battle line was very clear, right? In fact, in previous wars, be it Civil War, World War II, or Cold War, even Vietnam War, right? So the battle line of the Americans was clearly drawn. But in this war, right, you know, we have to come up with a good name, but I think we're in a war. But this war has no battle line. In fact, this war is in our backyard in this country already. Right? Our whole system is being compromised. Our way of life is being threatened. But not many people know about it. I think very few people know about it. Let me give you a scenario. Why there's so much effort or so much pressure to defend the CCP? Imagine, well, not imagine, but just think about it, right? Those who criticize China, those business, those politicians, whatever organization, right, who stand up or criticize the CCP's human rights record, they can only make money in this country or in the free world. Yet, those politicians, those media, those whatever organization, whatever entity, right, supporting or work with the CCP, not only can make money in this country, they can also make money in China. That is called competitive advantage. And we know what happens in a market economy, what competitive advantage does, right? Over time, the forces that consists of China, you know, supporting organization individuals will become much more powerful. Right? So, the CCP has already invaded country for a long time, has already tipped the balance. Now, in fact, it has already manipulating the free system, including our free economy. Free economy means free competition, fair and free competition. In this case, the competition is not fair. The resources, the media exposure, the media coverage, all are different. All tips balance towards those in favor of the CCP.
Yeah, and we don't have time to get into it, but there was a bill that just passed the House that was supposed to, you know, rein in China. The only problem is when you actually read it, yeah, didn't actually do that.
A lot of other things added to it. I know that.
Yeah, what a mess. The good news is everything stupid passes the House right now, and the least most of the time we get saved by the Senate, so we'll see. It's not actually legislation yet, but I thought it was just amazing that in the midst of the Olympics and all these things that are going on and all the abuses that we know about human rights in China, and they're going to write this bill to, you know, going to rein them in, and, you know, we're going to level the playing field and whatever all other crazy stuff was on the table.
I really
didn't do any of that.
No, I really believe before these Olympics are over, there's going to be some big story come out, and it's going to be a bit of a scandal, And it's going to, I think, open people's eyes to what's really going on over there.
Well, you look at the Dutch reporter who got hustled off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just out of curiosity, do you even know what he said?
I didn't speak Dutch, so...
I know.
No, he didn't say... He didn't say anything. It's just that, you know, the security... Once he saw a foreign reporter on the street, then the political incident comes in and chases him away.
Yeah, he was like in the dark. It wasn't like he was, hey, look over here, what I'm, you know... It was just like a guy with a microphone in the dark, and all of a sudden, armband guy comes out of nowhere, and, you know, you will comply. I thought, yeah. Oh, wow, that's...
No, I think there's going to be more of that
kind of creepy.
That goes on, and I'm just hoping that when this whole thing is over, that the IOC takes a hard look at who they're awarding these games to, and the
Well, let's face it,
backlash.
They can't have the games if the athletes don't show up.
Right.
So, you know, if countries like ours said, you know, we don't really think that's safe, and we don't want to support what these guys are doing, and like a million other reasons, if we would have stood, if the American athletes wouldn't have shown up, or would have said that they were going to boycott, what do you think would have happened? Just out of curiosity.
Well, their sponsor is going to say, you got to go, because we need to make money.
True, but if they, like, let's just say they didn't go, would that have been enough to kind of blow this thing up, do you think?
I don't think so. No.
I don't think so. I think this country needs a deep soul searching.
Yeah.
It's the first thing they have to realize, they are in danger. What I talk about, that they will have the Americans by their purse, right? Right now they have them by their purse. If they don't realize that, they don't respond, they don't wake up, then that is going to escalate to the point, eventually, the devil is going to have them by their, you know, neck, by their throat.
Yeah, and I don't think we're too far from that. I mean, we really need to wake up and stop this. I mean, it's there's just, I think, so much money involved with the games now. I mean, I'm not sure even any of these countries that take on the Olympics have ever made any money in the recent games, have they? I mean, everything I hear is they spend billions of dollars putting these huge things together, and then in the end they don't get it back. And I doubt very seriously if China's going to get anything back on what they've spent.
Yeah, I doubt it too.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Chen, we have had a wonderful time visiting with you. And bottom line is we've managed to burn 2 hours. It was so worth coming back this week, though, to talk with you about this. I'm really, really glad you were available. Thank you so much, and for those of you who want to send this to other people and miss part of it, that sort of thing, you can find it at WeThePeopleRadio.us.